The Angry Chicken is a production of Amove TV. Bookmark amove.tv for more gaming and esports shows. The Angry Chicken is directly supported by listeners like you via patreon.com/TAC.
Everyone, get in here!
Ready for action!
I've got the beast in my sight.
A podcast about Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft. This is the Angry Chicken.
Greetings and welcome back, everyone. This is indeed the Angry Chicken. I am Garrett Weinzerl, here as always with Jocelyn Carney, and we are pleased to bring you the first Leper Gnome episode of 2020, because I know Joss is, and I am also...
Not feeling great today.
It's not the Rona.
We should probably say that right off the top. It is still possible to be sick.
It doesn't matter.
Multiple ailments, I mean, that are not the coronavirus.
We are on the internet. Are people afraid to listen to podcasts with people who have contracted the coronavirus? Is that...
Computer viruses are a thing, Garrett. So,
I'm telling you right now, and not to belittle the severity of contracting it, but if I contracted it because my life is content, I would immediately start a podcast about what it's like to have coronavirus. Because I am empty inside, apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah. I have just been beat into submission by allergies. So we're both going to be a little quieter on today's episode than usual. So I hope I've been joking with chat room, which, by the way, it's so nice to have the live chat back after.
We missed you guys last week.
Something just wasn't working with Twitch last week. Don't know what it was, but it's nice to see you all again. But as we were joking with Twitch chat, we're doing our best Bob Ross impression today. Cause that's about how loud I'm going to be talking. So, it's another quiet week in Hearthstone. No big news. Waiting on that Battlegrounds patch.
It's got to be coming soon, right?
Has to. It had. Did you see how many icons were on that roadmap they put out, Jocelyn? That's so many. That's like they're running out of days in the year to hit all of those icons. What are they doing?
I don't know, man. I don't know. But I think this is like, and I don't know this. This is not facts, guys. Facts are facts. This is not facts. This is feelings. I feel like this is the longest time that we've gone without an update.
In the most modern Hearthstone sense, yes. Yes.
In Battlegrounds specifically. Oh, in Battlegrounds. It feels like this is, okay. Yeah, this is, gotcha, the longest that we've gone. Because it feels like, not necessarily like stale, but it definitely feels figured out. I feel super comfortable going into Battlegrounds games now because I feel like I have a really good idea what I'm doing. And that means it's been too long. Once I start to get a handle on things, guys, it's been too long.
Yeah, it is sorted for sure. Not that I am. I mean, I'm not slamming games as much as I used to, but I still feel a very strong pull to get in there and play games of Battlegrounds. So it's good.
I'm still playing just as much as I was before. I'm still playing it more than Constructed. And I think, it's at the point now where pretty much anybody has a fairly decent composition. Some of them are easier to come by than others, but you can pretty much, other than probably big demons is the only thing that's kind of difficult, like really difficult to pull off right now. Everything else feels pretty decent. So you can kind of go any route. Some of them are obviously better than others, but it's in a pretty well-rounded, balanced place right now in terms of heroes as well. So I think that's why I'm not necessarily itching for a patch, because there isn't anything that's like a super outlier in either, you know, minions or heroes, or I guess compositions or heroes, however you want to think about it. So there's nothing that's like a big crazy outlier as being too powerful or not powerful enough. So it just feels like it's in kind of like a good place, but I'm ready for a shakeup.
Yeah, I am too. I'm in the same boat as well. And I don't have much to add. Like, you're right. It's it's very figured out. I think it's also pretty damn well balanced. Mm-hmm. But I'm ready for a change. I'm very much ready for a change. So, anyways, before we move on and we talk about what's going on in Hearthstone Esports and whatnot, I want to thank those of you supporting us over at patreon.com/TAC. That's where you can go and support the Angry Chicken, which right now you're helping me get allergy pills and vitamin C supplements. So thank you very much for that. Head on over, patreon.com/TAC. We got all kinds of perks for you, like an ad-free feed, automatically updates as long as you set it up correctly. We found out recently that Patreon has a really nice page that gives you really specific instructions depending on which podcatcher you're using, because if you don't do it right, then you have to get a new link every time, and it doesn't work right. But go check that out, and I can provide a link to you if you need it. And also to some of our more recent patrons, we wanted to thank you by name. So thank you to Skinny Pothos, Jeff Calvank, and David DiTullio. I think I nailed them this week, Joss.
Yep.
I think I got
it. You did very well. I'm so proud of you and your pronunciations.
Listen, I've had a lifetime of the last name Weinzerl to prepare me for this moment. We need to start taking turns. I want to hear you try and pronounce some last names. You're going to come in one day, just so you know, folks, we color code things that are like specific to us in the show notes. You're going to come in one day, Joss, and it's just going to be highlighted green. And I'm going to be like, I'm sorry, the show notes have spoken. There's no going back. It is scripture at this point.
And then I'll just make them blue and then it'll be fine.
And I'll change them back to green. What you gonna do?
Ooh. Whoa, didn't see that coming. Gauntlet thrown.
Well, you know what you did see coming? You probably saw the news bumper coming.
Good news, everyone!
Grandmasters has completed week 3, which means, Jocelyn, we are at the end of the Swiss rounds. We now have our Division A and Division B for all 3 regions. I want to call them groups because I'm still watching GSL StarCraft 2 and they use groups there, but this is Division. Also, this is almost like Code S. Like, I almost want to say Code instead of, it doesn't matter. I've also been watching StarCraft. But Jocelyn, this was some of the most entertaining Hearthstone Esports I think I've ever watched this past week. Because this past week was the Bring 10 Ban 6.
Yeah. Okay. I'm super interested to have this conversation with you now. At first I thought, you know, we were just going to talk about kind of who ended up where, like what the main story is, kind of Hearthstone Esports Grandmasters in each of the regions, and then kind of move on. But I am so interested to hear your thoughts on week 3, because it didn't really work the way I thought it was going to work. We basically just ended up watching everybody play the like worst classes, air quotes, because I guess they just banned 6 classes. There wasn't any sort of like picking happening.
Well, I think that's that. I'm not saying that this should be the format from here on out. I don't think this mm-hmm. format would work that well over and over again. Like if we just set this in stone and moved on with it. But the fact that we are swapping our formats from week to week, this was my favorite week.
Okay.
It was really cool to see the lower end of the spectrum, the power spectrum, as far as pros are concerned, getting the spotlight. I think I see where you're going with this, which is like the thought that like you were basically watching the same 4 classes get played like across every game that was played this past week.
Right.
And you're not wrong. And so if this was 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks of this, it would get very long on the tooth very quickly, unless Hearthstone was also receiving buffs and nerfs, at some point
quite quickly. Yeah.
But that's true of really any format. Any format is made more interesting when there's a shakeup in the meta. It was just cool to see a reverse meta like and see the pros play it. And it's just like all it has done is whet my appetite for like, I really freaking just give me Arena. Make them play Arena. Find a way to let them draft. And like, because it was so cool watching pros play with less than top tier decks. I think even at one point it was one of the casters even made an arena analogy, which is, you know, with some of these lower end decks, you know, you kind of got to fight for board a little bit more because you're not, you know, it's not one of the other decks that has like a guaranteed end game plan. Some of these are just trying to win through attrition. So overall, I really liked it. I don't know about you, Joss, but I was actually a little excited to see our old friend Hungry Crab all over the frickin' place.
Yeah. I don't know. And I think it's more that because I had this picking and banning thing in my head, assuming that when we were banning so many different classes that it would work very similar to, you know, even something like Heroes, right? Where, you know, you get to get rid of something, but then you get to pick something. And then I thought that kind of mix would be really interesting because it would kind of create a meta where it was spread across like power levels, I guess. And then what you chose to play when in terms of your actual like matchups to try to get the best matchup you possibly could for your lineup. I thought that would be really interesting because, you know, like that first ban then becomes so important because then it's like, okay, if I want to ban Demon Hunter, then what does that mean that I'm letting through? And what does that mean for, you know, everything else going down the chain in the picks and bans? But there were no picks. So I think it was more my own like thoughts and expectations that maybe made me kind of go, oh, this isn't as interesting as I thought it was going to be.
Ooh, having,
doesn't mean having, it was
having ban and pick phase like a MOBA actually would have been pretty cool.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought that they were going to do when they were talking about banning so many classes. I was like, well, they've obviously got to let them pick some, right? Because then you kind of get something that's in the top, something that's kind of around the middle, and then something that's around the bottom, and you have to figure out your matchups accordingly. And I mean, maybe that would be too complicated for a one-off week, I don't know, but that's kind of where my head was at when they first announced it. So then when it worked out to be just like, no, they banned six classes and you have to play the remaining four, it was kind of like, oh, okay, that's where we got a lot of the sameness. And I mean, it was still interesting to watch. And you're right, like we got to see some classes that weren't necessarily like in the spotlight, aren't as strong, aren't as like big, crazy swing feels bad turns as some of the stuff that we've been used to seeing in the first couple of weeks. So it was definitely interesting and different. I will give it that, but I'm glad it's not the way that we play Hearthstone now.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair, but I really enjoyed watching. I enjoyed seeing the decks played. It was, you know, I was like a Paladin fan. It was just nice to see so many damn Paladin games. We actually saw some variants within Paladin. Murloc was still really popular, but there's some non-Murloc decks that were brought. We were seeing variants within the decks. Like, thank God for Hunter, right? Like, Hunter made this, you know, a little more interesting because there's just so many different types of Hunter decks that can get played. I just found myself entertained. It was a nice breath of fresh air. Like, I think there's more interesting ways to do this for sure, but honestly, I'm pretty happy with the first 3 weeks of Grandmaster. I thought it was cool that we had three different weeks, three different formats. And as much at the beginning, I was like, oh, this would have been cool if there was, you know, arena in here or something even more insane, like no legendaries, no epics, something like that. Something, you know, that's a little bit more
really off
deck
the wall.
Building challenge would be cool. Yeah. I'm still waiting.
You could argue that some of these classes are a deck building challenge.
Well, the closest one is Mage. And are they really doing anything other than playing Reno and praying that they win?
No.
By the way, I love playing that deck. I hate playing against it and I certainly hate losing to it, but, everyone knows, even if I never said it, you can probably assume how I feel about Puzzle Box of Yogg-Saron.
It's the greatest card of life, Garrett. Next to Yogg himself, because nothing is ever better than Yogg. He is Yogg.
I don't have the energy to make an impassioned debate for why Yogg is the worst card in the history of Hearthstone.
Oh, I love that we're just in such polar opposite places at that topic. So as you mentioned, we have seen the first 3 weeks of Grandmasters completed now. Now we get into the super nitty gritty. So weeks 4 to 7 is our round robin competition. Mm-hmm. And so this is what everybody was competing for in the first 3 weeks was essentially like seeding for weeks 4 to 7. So you play every other, there's 8 people in each division. There's an A and a B in each region. And then you play everybody who's like in your pool. And then depending on if you're in group A or B, that dictates, you know, what's going to happen in playoffs. Because people in division B, if you're 7th or 8th, you're automatically relegated at the end of week 7, which is kind of fast and crazy. And then there's a playoff in the top 4 of Division B, playoff for 2 spots in the actual playoffs. And then the 2 that don't make it and the 2 from the bottom. Wait, the 2 that don't make it through to the playoffs and the remaining 2 at the bottom of Division B playoff for the other 2 relegation spots.
It's basically
a little bit confusing, but it's Hearthstone. We're relegating 4 people.
It's Hearthstone Bloodsport. Like, it's a Thunderdome, and I kind of like it.
I like it better this way than I did in the first year of Grandmasters, because I really didn't like the way they dealt with relegation, where you were just kind of like put in these arbitrary pools. And then, I mean, I've spoken about it a number of times when we talked about Grandmasters, what happened in EU in Division A last year. They weren't seeded by any sort of anything. So we ended up with 4 players tied at the bottom for like who all played very, very well, had great records that if they were in any other pool of players wouldn't have resulted in relegation. And Orange, one of my favorite players, got relegated out of that group. And it was just like, oh man, they had to go to like the 3rd or 4th tiebreaker down the list to actually break that 4-way tie. And I'm glad that we're in a situation now where it's seeding players and looking at your record over the entire season over a couple different formats that we saw through weeks 1 through 3, instead of just like straight up. And there's like ways for people in B to get into playoffs and, you know, avenues to not be relegated. And there's avenues for players in A to be relegated. Like, that can happen, though it's very difficult. You have to lose a lot in order to get into that situation. But I feel like it's a lot more skill based this year, I guess, or performance based is maybe a better way to put it. And that makes me really happy, because then I feel like I'm watching a more fair, competitive esport.
I agree. It's a little more convoluted for sure.
It is, but yeah, way more complicated.
I think at its base level, it's more convoluted. Obviously last year, if we went to like 3 rounds of tiebreakers, like that is its own system that can lead to all kinds of a mess, right? But
I feel like a lot of people just didn't pay attention to that. It was just like, we have a 4-way tie and Blizzard just tells us who wins, like whereas like this system is very in your face with all the changes week to week. But
there's a lot more just movement happening, which I like. Yeah. Which, because I like, as sad as relegations made me, I was like, there should be more relegations or just more movement around this system. It just felt like, I don't know. It didn't feel like there were as many stakes last year. This year,
absolutely none more at the beginning.
Oh yeah, none whatsoever.
They didn't relegate the first time.
Yeah,
first season.
And then Dog left. Dog was like our champion. He's like, I'm done.
Yeah, he relegated himself.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, okay, interesting. So yeah, I'm much more. I'm enjoying my time with the Grandmasters this year much, much, much more. And I really liked this last week. So, bring on round robin, I guess. I know, by the way, last week I was also talking about, Surrender in the, Asia Pacific region. Turns out Surrender is human. Surrender was knocked out of the top spot by Glory, who went 7-0 this for week 3. That's nutty. Absolutely nutty. But yeah, also like I haven't caught any of his games, but I was like, oh yeah, Blitzchung, how's he doing? I just haven't, by happenstance, have not been watching what Blitzchung was playing. And he had a pretty rough start, although he did pretty good this past week.
Yeah, so he got signed, if you guys missed the news, when he was off on his suspension, he actually got signed to Tempo Storm. So he's playing for a team now, and he is back in Grandmasters. So his suspension covered basically the 6 months that Grandmasters did not exist conveniently. So we never actually got to see what that would actually mean for the structure of Grandmasters, I guess. So anyways, he's back. He's playing in the season. And because of his record, which was, you know, it was kind of okay. He had a really rough second week, but he was kind of middle of the pack the other 2 weeks, but that did land him in Division B. So he's going to have a hard time getting up into any kind of playoff, but it is possible. So look forward to seeing what he does going forward. And then in Americas, which is the, I mean, obviously it's closer to actually like my time. So this is the one I've watched the most of. And Language Hacker, Canadian, yeah. And Empanizado actually both are newcomers to Grandmasters and both have made it into Division A. So yeah, some really great play coming out of both of those people. And yeah, I'm cheering for Language Hacker all the way.
I figured.
Yeah. And then one other piece of kind of interesting news, and I know this is a quite a big deal like last year, because FC Barcelona, if you guys aren't familiar with them, they are a European football club, soccer club. And basically like they're freaking huge.
Thank you for clarifying.
Okay. Yeah, no, they're a pretty big deal. And so they actually picked up a Rocket League team last year, and now they have picked up a Hearthstone player. So the French player Zim, who just made it into Grandmasters this year, he is in Division B, but he has been picked up by FC Barcelona. So they are expanding their esports holdings now from Rocket League. And I think they have one other like soccer based game that they compete in. But now they're expanding into Hearthstone, which is pretty huge news because their money, they're old sport money. You guys.
I mean, yeah, that's legit. I mean, it's been a while since we've had like something that I think like moved the esports needle on Hearthstone's side of things. Like we've been pretty content to continue doing our thing kind of in our own, you know, corner of the internet for a while. So that's, that is a really big deal. That's a big investment from a major entity.
And it's really, it is really interesting because everything they've done so far has been like soccer focused, right? Like Rocket League is soccer with cars. The other game they're competing in is, I'm pretty sure, just like soccer. It's not like FIFA, but it's another soccer based video game. And so for them to choose Hearthstone as their next big esports entry, it's kind of cool.
Kind of like, what you doing? What you doing, Barcelona? What are you doing over there?
Yeah.
Or it's just like, they have some secret meeting with Blizzard where they're like, next expansion, all soccer themed.
Yeah, everything's just all black and white.
That's it. That's your soccer theme. We just make everything black and white. You're not going to talk about like who, which races in Warcraft are the most prone to being soccer hooligans. like which one looks the most like Jason Statham?
Kind of like, I didn't want to go like the fan route because that was basically Rosticon's Rumble, right? So
I'm sorry. Was that an expansion?
Yeah, maybe it's the new take on Rosticon's Rumble because that one did so horribly. They were just like, let's pretend it never happened.
A bunch of orcs in like, you know, tight jerseys, you know, kicking the ball around. Although, you know, trolls. Trolls got like legs for days. They're going to be they're going for that. They do not skip leg day. Orcs definitely do. I don't know about it. I don't know about those orcs, but. Oh, well, that's ridiculous. You know what this means, Jocelyn? It means that once we are allowed to go to pubs again, we are now allowed to turn on Hearthstone and start screaming at it.
And yeah, 100%.
For that, I am very excited. So before we move out of news, Activision Blizzard announced their Q1 earnings, and things are looking up. For Activision Blizzard, it looks like kind of across the board because of everyone quarantining, just people playing games are it's up quite a bit everywhere. And like the earnings call gets into all kinds of different things, specifically like name dropped Battlegrounds. I didn't see as much mention of Ashes of Outland in multiple different articles that were reporting on the Q1 earnings than I did Battlegrounds. And
well, Ashes of Outland wouldn't have impacted Q1. Q1 would have been January, February, March.
Good point. Okay. I think of it as the same time as Warzone because they couldn't shut up about Call of Duty Warzone, but I guess Warzone did slightly make it into Q1. So you're totally right. I didn't even think about that. But nonetheless, good to hear. And also, like, seems like a hat tip as to why Battlegrounds got as more directly monetized as it did. Mm. Right. If there's a big focus on that and why numbers in Hearthstone, it was up at least in Q1. And I have a feeling sure, probably still doing pretty damn well for them. Still have a lot of friends that's all they play. Like I get in and like my, look at my friends and I'm like, there's a surprising amount of people still that are just like Battlegrounds diehards. But yeah, if that was,
it's my preferred way to watch Hearthstone on Twitch now, unless I am like trying to learn a new deck or if there's somebody, excuse me, like Regis, who I just find entertaining no matter what he does, then I'll watch him play. But for the most part, if I'm looking just for like random people on Twitch playing Hearthstone to put on in the background, Battlegrounds is like my go-to. It just, I think it's because it's more interesting for me to watch when people are streaming, because it seems like for the most part, there's a little bit of like downtime while the combat's happening. So it allows the streamer to interact with the chat room a little bit more. And it creates a bit of a kind of casual stream sitting around with your friends type of an atmosphere. A lot of constructed, especially if you're watching people play like really high level, a lot of constructed players can get really like tunnel visioned. So, which I mean, they should concentrate on the game, but I think it's just the nature of the mode that makes it very streamable. I really enjoy it.
It's so much more varied. As we opened the beginning of the show talking about how it's very figured out, but you know, one round to the next is very different. Then your standard matchup on ladder, you're probably running into roughly four classes on the regular. So you're probably seeing a lot of the same matchups all the same times. And you're seeing a lot of the same victories or defeats for similar reasons. Whereas in Battlegrounds, getting a bad beat in Battlegrounds is still more interesting than a bad beat in Standard, because I feel like I've seen most of them. But in Battlegrounds, it's just like, oh my, how did the bomb go there?
Yeah. Like, all the places, why?
Yeah, it's still under, there's just something about it. So you're right. I think it's just infinitely streamable. I mean, good Lord, every time and you're not alone. I feel like every time I go to Hearthstone's Twitch, if I'm just browsing Hearthstone, the top three are usually Battleground streamers. Mm-hmm. Like Savit seems to have it on lockdown. Dude's
he doesn't
insane.
Stream anything. He doesn't play Constructed anymore. Obviously, I've been a fan of his for a very, very long time. So I watch his stream all the time now that he's back to Hearthstone, because he took quite a long break from Hearthstone and was just streaming other stuff before coming back to Hearthstone again for Battlegrounds, because he really enjoys the mode. So since he's been back in Battlegrounds, I have been watching him quite often. He's usually my afternoon stream since he's in California now. So I usually watch like my EU Dead by Daylight streamer in the morning and then Savit's in the afternoon playing Battlegrounds on the West Coast. And it makes for a very entertaining day.
Firebat Battlegrounds highlights on YouTube are what I fall asleep to.
That's weird.
I find his brand of humor very soothing. You never had a podcast that you put on because it's just like, oh, this lulls me to sleep. Way to make it weird, Joss. Thanks.
Sorry. And just you go to bed with Firebat. It's weird.
Not what? I'm not making that the episode title. He will never come on the show again. Not doing it. But yeah,
In the chat room is saying very high level constructed play is super interesting to watch. It 100% is, but I feel like I get my fix from that while I'm watching Grandmasters and on top of which I do over the weekends.
Nailed it.
And on top of that, most of the time, like I am still working. I'm working 9 to 5 from home. So even though I've got my streams going, they are very much background, and Battlegrounds is a much easier thing to follow for me in the background than trying to watch high-end constructed play. Again, with the caveat of there are some people that I will just watch, like Regis, because he's super entertaining.
Big Regis fan. I don't know if you guys can tell because we have him on the show, but you should definitely go and support support Regis. So, anyways, I was happy to see this as a Blizzard fan. You know, they didn't have the best 2019. And also, like, I have found myself weirdly enjoying Call of Duty the most I have since Modern Warfare 2. I can't even really remember the last time I cared about Call of Duty. So it's also that it was like, I didn't even really think about it until I started reading this. I'm like, oh yeah, Call of Duty is doing so well. It got me to play it. Like, it's been a long time.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy because, I mean, I used to really, really like Call of Duty. Like, I played a lot of the early ones. I played through a lot of the campaigns. I was never a huge, huge fan of the multiplayer, but I at least was playing the games, and I haven't over the last few iterations. And I did try the Battle Royale, but I wasn't good enough at the multiplayer aspect of Call of Duty. So I would just die way too quickly in Warzone. I felt like at least with PUBG when it first came out, it's like everyone was on the same sort of learning curve, but because Warzone is built in the Call of Duty physics and gun universe, it was like, there were just so many people that were way up here and I was way down here. And I'm like, no, this is not fun. So yeah, Call of Duty hasn't sucked me in, but I am definitely back. I mean, I'm on a 6-month reoccurring sub, so I never like left, but I took a couple months off when I first went back to work of raiding in Warcraft, and I'm back doing that now because I don't have to get up super early to commute or anything. So I'm able to get back in with the raid team, and so I can definitely see like just a general uptick. I've also started playing ESO because they've got a big Skyrim expansion coming out at the end of the month. And even though I already played a lot of games, I'm playing even more stuff now that I'm just because you can't go anywhere and do anything in the evenings. Right. So, you know, any time that I would have spent outside the home in the evenings is really just free time now.
Yeah. No, and you and I are both like general gamers. Like, we like to play things outside of like the main games that we do shows about. So, yeah, like my Hearthstone time's up. My WoW time is up. Like, that was also mentioned in the Q1 earnings is the XP bonus, the 100% XP bonus that WoW's running. It seems to have absolutely worked for them. Plus, they have the hype around the alpha, you know, starting to turn things up, even though it's looking like probably not until Q4 that we're going to see Shadowlands released.
I don't think anyone is super surprised by that.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's good. And like, Heroes is killing it. Like, if you're a Blizzard fan right now, like I am, it's a good suite of games to be playing right now. Mm-hmm. Which is good because Fall got a little extra time on our hands right now. So anyways, before we move into Battlegrounds and, I have something I want to talk to you about, Jocelyn, because we want changes. What kind of change do you want? It's kind of what I want to talk to you about.
Interesting.
Before we do that, we have a sponsor to thank today, and it's one of our favorites. MeUndies is back sponsoring this episode of The Angry Chicken. You can get 15% off your first pair of undies over at MeUndies.com/TAC right now. Go check them out. It's summertime, Jocelyn. I know it might not feel like it a little bit until, at least for me, I walk outside and I immediately start melting because I live in Florida.
But we're supposed to get snow on Friday.
What? Wow. Yeah. Well, you should stock up on...
there's like a polar vortex coming for us or something.
Well, it sounds like you need to get a couple more MeUndies onesies then.
Yeah, sure do.
but yeah, me, I'm just sitting here going, well, the beaches have reopened, but I don't really want to go. So I need to keep my summer dream alive elsewhere. So I'm going to keep that dream alive with dream-inducing undie comfort. That's what I'm going to do. And you might be wondering how you reach this uninterrupted state of comfort. With a membership from MeUndies, that's how you do it. And man, is it handy. Imagine this, folks. Every month, the softest, coziest undies magically appear at your door. It's amazing. As your undie collection grows, your laundry time lessens and adulting gets that much easier. More time for games. Plus, a membership comes with site-wide savings, early access, and free shipping. Oh, and zero reasons to ever leave your house. Just grab those new undies off the porch and get right on back to that summertime dreaming and ladder grinding. Just get over there. Go check it out. So I'm a big fan of my MeUndies. Jocelyn, folks, if you listen to any episode that MeUndies has sponsored, you have heard us talk loud and proud about what's covering our bottoms.
I'm literally wearing them right now. Same. I'm pretty sure all of my undies now have been converted to MeUndies, and it is so comfortable. My butt is so happy.
Yes, yes. Or they're at least the first worn out of the laundry. They've mm-hmm. achieved favorite t-shirt status, which I never thought I would have with underwear. But they're just so damn soft. Also, they have really fun prints. If you opt into them, if you don't like ridiculous prints on your underwear, you don't have to have them. You could have standard colors. But
you can have cherries or orcas or coffee or sushi. Oh, there's so many options.
Or disco dancing stormtroopers.
That also is true. I have disco dancing stormtrooper pants.
I think we have the exact same patterns.
I think we do.
Yep. It's only weird if you don't, you know, we're really good friends. It's not that weird.
It's totally fine.
Go check them out. You can get 15% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee by going to MeUndies.com/TAC. That is MeUndies.com/TAC. We thank them for their support, and we thank you for using that code. And now, let's talk a little Battlegrounds.
Have a good battle, friend.
Jocelyn, I would like to talk to you about minions. And specifically,
I would like to listen to you talk about minions.
Minion types, or what we commonly refer to as tribes. Because I can say one word and you know what I'm talking about, as opposed to having to say minion types. I like tribes better. What I'm really trying to say is, would you like to sign my change.org petition to get tribes to be the official term to describe minion type in Hearthstone?
I thought it already was.
Yeah. But again, it's like, as we wait for the next big update, we're left thinking, well, how would you shake it up? And we talked a bit about it last week. Excuse me. Losing my voice. Thanks to our listeners writing into tacpodcast@gmail.com, which you can do as well. But one of the things we didn't really get to was like tribes, because there are tribes that haven't been added to Battlegrounds yet. We have beasts, we have demons, we have dragons, mechs, and murlocs. We do not have pirates. We do not have totems. Do we have elementals? I don't think there's any sort of synergy with elementals at the moment.
No, there's no elemental anything. No.
And for some reason, I thought there was like one weird off, but yeah, no, there isn't. So could they work? Totems, I'm surprised I didn't think about them last week when we were having the conversation about how if you want to try adjusting the power level of token generating tier one minions, maybe have something without an attack value, like a 0/1. That sure sounds like a totem to me.
Mm-hmm.
Or a 0/2, you know, whatever stats feel appropriate to you. If we do that, could we have lackeys? Could you have a totem lackey? Like, I don't know how well they would work. Trying to think what lackeys would be.
Well, yeah, like terrible. Lackeys, the Titanic lackey would probably be okay. Same with the one that lets you discover a dragon that you're, I bet it's a draconic lackey. I can't think off the top of my head if that's right or not. But the one that the goblin lackey that gives rush, and the kobold lackey that you have to target something and do damage. I don't necessarily think those are great because, I mean, I guess the goblin lackey just for the bonus attack might be okay. But yeah, discovering a spell, because there aren't any spells in Battlegrounds.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like that would also be a lot of
a Titanic, the one that gives taunt and health, right? Would I think be a really good one.
Titanic would be good. Draconic would be good. The evolved mm-hmm. lackey would be interesting. Mm-hmm. Kobold lackey would be very problematic because it just does 2 targeted damage and that's basically pointless in mm-hmm. Battlegrounds. But yeah, there'd be some interesting things there, but that'd also be. It was a totem specifically. Like, ooh, that is some infinite value generation in Battlegrounds. It was something that just this moment popped into my head. But mostly I'm thinking about things like pirates, like totems, like elementals. Like, elementals is one that kind of surprises me we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, elementals seems like probably the easiest one to bring into the mode, although pirates, I think, are pretty good and synergistic as well. And we have a lot of options for those now. I think we have a fairly decent amount of minions in the game that interact with totems. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if totems themselves without spells are strong enough. Because a lot of what makes the totem deck right now go are things like, you know, totemic might or totemic, what's the one that buffs the health? I can't remember now. Or like bloodlust, you know, like they don't really, they're more sticking bodies to the board, but they don't inherently do too much in and of themselves. So I don't know if I would want a board full of totems unless they had something super powerful, like a battleground specific couple of minions that just blew them out of the park. But then they feel a lot like must-haves, like Megasaur kind of feels if you're going for late game Murlocs. So I'm not sure how much, like how well that would actually work, because you don't necessarily want an entire tribe to be dependent on finding one specific minion, which is actually, I find it very interesting that beasts are tier one right now, because I find, at least when I play it, it's so dependent on finding a mama bear. And if you don't find that mama bear, your comp really just doesn't have that late game potential. So I'm surprised it's doing so well. And I mean, obviously you can see mama bear in the kind of winning beast comp, which I think speaks more like to my experience. But yeah, I don't know. Whenever I play beasts, I can never find a mama bear. So I don't know how it's this consistent.
They have a very strong average placement, and I'm sure a portion of that is probably weighted by Rat Pack still being this bread and butter of the early to mid game, right?
Yeah.
Also, Gas Coiler is a late game, just kind of whatever. Okay, I didn't get the 6-star I was looking for. Let's just grab a Gas Coiler and go. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure some of that is playing a factor in the weights of how these are being considered beast comps on a site like HS Replay. This is me assuming, and this is not based off like hard evidence. I don't know this for a fact, but there's a lot of other reasons I think beast could be up there. But totems are very unique for sure. But pirates and elementals kind of stick out. Pirates, if anything, I guess my brain goes, well, historically pirates have a problem with late game, right? Like pirates don't really top out in constructed Hearthstone. Their goal is to like not really let the game get the late game, or they're kind of a supporting role in a deck, right?
Although you could, I mean, with either one of those, like I think you're right. Elementals probably have the most ready to go minions. But I mean, we weren't really sure how dragons were going to work, right? Because a lot of the dragon synergy in constructed Hearthstone has to do with holding dragons in your hand to get an effect, or, you know, something along those lines. And they kind of like work together and buff together, but they were very hand dependent. And then so basically the team just came out and said, no, we're going to give you the cobalt buff dude. But other than that, here's a bajillion new dragons that you've never seen before. Like they could make a bajillion new pirates that we've never seen before, or a bajillion new totems we've never seen before. There's kind of no reason why they can't make new minions. And I think that they should, because, you know, dragons, I think, have fit really well. They were super powerful at the get-go, but I think a lot of people have kind of figured out ways around them now. And like you can see, they're kind of like tier two, right around the average placement of being fourth. Like they're average. They're fitting in.
They have they're very heavily weighed towards first place finishes, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of nutty. But yeah, it's
well, so are Murlocs. Both of those comps are very much like your first or you fail horribly.
First or your last.
That's, yeah.
That is basically it.
You gave me so much crap last time I said that for saying it too often in terms of Battlegrounds. So I'm not saying it anymore.
I don't remember that. I am feeling put upon. I don't remember this. I don't remember this. So it didn't happen.
You literally said, are you going to say that every time we talk about Battlegrounds? And I haven't said it since.
I say a lot of things, Jocelyn. Sometimes they're mean and you can tell me I'm a jerk. Yeah. I mean, all the tribes we're talking about right now are problematic kind of in their own way. Cause, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the elementals are geared kind of towards board control. A lot of them do some sort of damage to the board off of a battle cry.
Targeted damage or
which is, you know, something that doesn't lend itself to the way Battlegrounds works. But like, even like something as simple as a Dust Devil, which already, even bringing that up, it's like, well, how do we bother messing with Overload, or do we make a Dust Devil that's bespoke for Battlegrounds that doesn't have it? But it'd be cool to have like an early game minion with Wind Fury. That'd be kind of interesting.
I wonder, if you could somehow adapt the Overload mechanic to like take away a gold from your next turn or something. Because obviously we don't pay mana for cards, but I mean, so you could do it kind of one of two ways. Either you remove the Overload text and just put it in a higher tier, or you keep something like Dust Devil in tier one. But then what you do is you say, okay, if you buy Dust Devil in round one, then you have three gold again next turn. So you have to buy a minion. You can't buy you can't tavern up, you know, you won't have four, you'll only have three, which again could be super interesting or could be, you know, super weak, really.
hear me out once I unmute myself. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Whirlwind Tempest, a card you may not remember exists, but it's an eight mana 6/6 elemental that your minions with Wind Fury have mega Wind Fury. What if
I was sad that this never saw like more play?
We have Divine Shield comps are a thing in Battlegrounds. Like, we don't think of Divine Shield as a quote unquote tribe in a classic sense, but in Battlegrounds it is and can be. What if we bring in elementals and Wind Fury is kind of their jam?
Well, because right now the only thing that really does the Wind Fury thing is Murlocs, right? And Zap, yeah. But Murlocs, if you can get the proper Megasaur down. And those, I feel like this would just be so powerful, because whenever I see like Wind Fury Murlocs, I do not win. They usually have also Divine Shield and Poison, and they just kill my whole board, and I just go, GG, well done.
I don't think it's a Wind Fury is necessarily the reason you lost there, but yes, fair. It'd be interesting. But I mean, I think the easy way to have this conversation is go, oh, just make Battlegrounds bespoke minions for all of these tribes. But I also like to use existing cards as springboards.
Oh yeah.
So, because yeah,
can you imagine a Battlegrounds board with Mega Wind Fury getting four attacks to every one of your opponent's attacks?
It's interesting, because if your health on the minion isn't there, it's kind of irrelevant, right?
Yeah.
So you would need a way to buff your minions up health wise to even make it worth a damn, or have Divine Shield. Right. And traditionally those aren't really things we think about doing to elementals. I mean, some of them are just big to begin with, but it'd be interesting for sure. Pirates would be cool too, but as they exist and constructed, a lot of them have weapon interactions, which is something that just doesn't exist in Battlegrounds and I don't think ever will. Although, why not equip a weapon and have it like you throw yourself into a minion? Although suddenly we'd have to ask about how does that interact with attack value?
Yeah, exactly. You throw yourself into a fully buffed hyena and then kill yourself twice over.
Well, we were talking to Ben Thompson at BlizzCon last year when, you know, they had announced Battlegrounds, and he was like, oh yeah, no, we used to have it that the minion's attack is how much attack it would do to the hero. And we were like, that seems insane. He's like, yeah, it was. We were like, did you set health values to like 1,000? He was like, at some point we considered that and we realized, wait, we're just going about this wrong. Why are we...
Why are we dealing with all these huge numbers?
Yes, like, there's a better way to do this. Yeah, yeah. But that was, oh my God. Could you imagine just dying on turn three to a hyena?
Man, I honestly, like, there have been so many times that I've been so tilted in Battlegrounds that I'm just like, welp, I'm dead. And I'm like, oh no, wait, I'm not taking the 25 from the hyena. I'm just taking the tier amount plus whatever the heroes bought. Oh, that's a lot better. You see the 8/8 live off the egg and you're like, oh man, now I have to take 8 damage. Oh no, wait, you're only worth 1. Sucker.
Yeah. Yeah. But it'd be interesting. I think after this talk, I think elemental stands the most chance of getting. I'd say totem is like the lowest of the low, right? Like probably, maybe we'll see one. Probably not going to be like a tribe. Like maybe they add it just to, for a little early game flair. Like I think you could very easily get rid of like Direwolf Alpha and put in Flame Tongue Totem. Definitely not on the same. Flame Tongue
is the first.
Definitely not on the same tavern tier. but like you could have that kind of, you know, positional based buff card. You know, that's something you could do with a totem, but be interesting for sure. I'd like to see what they would do with pirates. It just seems like pirates just seem from a flavor aspect missing. Like they should just be there in Hearthstone Battlegrounds being their ridiculous selves.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is a thought.
So what is your vote? If you had your wish and you know, like what's currently existing aside, just what is the next tribe that you really want to see in Battlegrounds?
Well now I want like whirlwind elementals after we talked about it, but like flavor wise, like I feel like pirates should just be here.
Yeah, that's kind of my feeling too, is like the next thing they should be looking at to put into Battlegrounds would be pirates, because I feel like the jumping into the fray and swinging weapons wildly at random opponents just fits the theme of pirates so well. Just like, yeah, completely. Like the, you know, the guy in Pirates of the Caribbean that always has the bombs that just goes running, screaming into the fight. That's the pirate mentality, the perfect example of what I picture as the pirate mentality, which is also very Battlegroundsy.
I'm into it. You sold me. You sold me with that and that alone.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you. Thank you for pulling on the string for me for a bit. I just wanted to see what shook out of a tribe talk, because I know it had come up a few times. We're like, oh, put a pin in that, save it for a quieter week. We'll talk tribes. So here you have it. It's a quieter week.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward, because I really do think we're going to get some news around Battlegrounds very, very soon. So I'm looking forward to whatever the next patch happens to be.
Agreed. Well, let's move this right along to some crazy game stories.
The whole world got crazy.
You're in trouble now.
You got it.
You can send your crazy game stories to tacpodcast@gmail.com. Who wrote in this week, Jocelyn?
This one comes to us from Bit Beaker, who says, "Greetings, friendly fowl. I decided to play a few games of Mechathune Warlock on Wild Ladder and ran into a pirate warrior. It was just a normal game of Hearthstone like any other. My opponent was playing pirates and I was clearing them. Luckily, on turn 6, I was able to play Hemet and empty most of what was left in my deck. At this point, my opponent had no board and I had Mistress of Mixtures and the Hemet that was just played. On my opponent's turn, they played Leroy Jenkins and traded into my Hemet. I chuckled to myself as I knew the death of Garrosh was imminent. Or was it? This is when I realized I now have two whelps and a Mistress of Mixtures on board. I have too many minions in my hand to play the Dollmaster Dorian combo and risk getting the wrong minions in play. I played Reno Jackson to heal up to 30 and went into fatigue. I proceeded to smash my opponent in the face with two whelps, Reno, and the Mistress for a few turns. They left the board clear the whole time and only equipped a death bite. Finally, they played a bunch of charge minions, passed the turn to fatigue me for 4, putting me down to 1. I had enough damage on board to put them to 1, so I traded in my board and played my combo. The Mistress put me back to 5. Ha 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 ha, got you. Or did I? I forgot to calculate the Blood Mage Thalanos in my hand, so when all the minions died, I drew one final card and took 5 fatigue damage, causing the game to end in a draw." We haven't had a draw game story in a long time.
Oh, and good.
Yeah, if you guys are unaware, so the Dollmaster Dorian combo involves him and Kael'thas and basically like doing a lot of the Mechathune type stuff with, except you're using Plot Twist, which is really kind of cool. So you play down Dollmaster Dorian, use the Plot Twist, and any other cheap spell, which then makes your next spell free, which is how you cast Cataclysm, which kills all your minions and discards your hand. And that's how you get the Mechathune win condition. But because of plot twist, Dollmaster Dorian, or so basically plot twist shuffles all the minions in your hand back into the deck. And then Dollmaster Dorian is on the board. So when you then draw that same number of cards back out of your deck, every single one of the minions that you had in your hand then gets a 1/1 copy on the board, which is how you get your Mechathune and your Kael'thas to get your zero spell and everything else. And it's a really freaking cool combo. It's kind of like it's a new twist on the way to play the Mechathune Warlock deck. And yeah, it sounds super, super freaking cool. And I love it, even though I hate that card because he's super creepy.
I love that card art. It's wonderful.
So creepy. Yep. But yeah, I just thought this was so cool because yeah, we don't get draw games very often. So
yeah. Yeah. It's been, I want to say like 2 years since I've had a draw.
I may have only had two.
I think I may have had two and I can't even remember what caused them. I know I've had at least one.
Mm-hmm.
This was like one of those nights where I couldn't sleep. I was on my phone. It's like 3 a.m. and I just go, well, that just happened.
I'm fairly certain that at some point I have just hellfired. It's like, if I'm going down, I'm taking you with me.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing that story, Bitbreaker. And also thank you for it being, not only is it a draw story, it's a wild story. We haven't gotten one in a while. I'd liked Death's Bite. That was a cool card.
It was a really, really good card.
It's been a while. It caused some problems. But yeah. Anyways, let's wrap this up with an email or two.
Hello.
Hello, it's me.
Hello.
Just quickly, do you get my message?
Yep.
Oh.
Hello, brother.
You can send your emails to techpodcast@gmail.com or drop us a message in the patron Discord if you're a patron. Hidden Jester wrote in and says, now that we're a few days into the second iteration of the new ladder, what are you feeling about the rank floors specifically? Here's what I'm noticing this far. Hitting Silver 5 or Gold 10 doesn't mean, oh, my opponent might be playing any crazy thing like it did before, because I'm still MMR matchmaking. So I can experiment at gold 10, but that doesn't mean all of my opponents are also at a rank floor, which I personally think is a good change. Yeah, I mean, Hidden Jester, you are absolutely correct. And I noticed some people on the Discord when Jester put this in being like, oh, hadn't thought about that. And
well, that's kind of why I threw this in there, because it's a really interesting change to the ladder that we haven't really discussed yet. Because before, 100%, like you would get to a rank floor, you would really feel it. Some of my hardest ladder grinds were actually, you know, getting out of 10 and getting out of 5 because you had people that had like met their monthly goal, whatever their personal monthly goal was. So then they were just like, okay, I made it to 10 or 5 or whatever. Now I'm at a floor. I'm just going to play anything. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to try out crazy stuff, which made it really difficult for people who still wanted to climb past that point because they weren't able to kind of use the meta to pinpoint what to target in their potential opponents because people were just all over the crazy place. Now, because you are, as long as you still have bonus stars, you're getting people matched with your MMR, you could, like Jester says, be at a rank floor, but they could be literally anywhere else on the ladder. So you can use the meta a little bit more. And then obviously once you run out of bonus stars, then you're playing people at your rank. And so then you can it's much easier to judge. So kind of like when you're up in diamond, that's when you get the same sort of feeling for the most part of like the old ranked floors.
Yeah.
But like throughout your climb is different. Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically like once you run out of your bonus stars, then you're back in the old rank floor ladder system. So for me, that's diamond, but not for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting for sure. Cause I did think about this and I just haven't really seen meme decks and I almost kind of miss it. Like I don't necessarily disagree with Jester that they think it's a good change, but like, I don't think it's bad thing. It's just it was a cool shakeup to the climb that I kind of miss. I liked the variety, I guess.
Yeah, so I think it's a good change if your goal is specifically to climb the ladder, because the meta is easier to pinpoint, which makes choosing your deck to play a little bit easier. But I also see your side of things where, you know, you can stop seeing all that variety. And I think that that is part of the problem that I experienced last month, because, you know, I hit my Diamond 10 rank floor and it was just Demon Hunter, Demon Hunter, Demon Hunter, Demon Hunter, Demon Hunter. And I was like, ah, stab it. So, yeah, I think that like I can definitely see both sides. I did appreciate the variety for sure. And I think last month too, it's still kind of difficult because it's such a new ladder. It was such a big change. So it's really hard, I think, still to talk about whether we like it or dislike it, because it just hasn't been long enough. Like, it was such a novelty. It came with a new class. It came with a new expansion. That I almost feel like last month is almost like an anomaly. I want to see what my next 2 to 3 months actually looks like on ladder before I make a final love it, hate it, like, proclamation.
Yeah, same. Cause like, so far this season, it has made a lot more sense to me. Mm-hmm. Like, my win rate is a little higher, which it was abysmal last season, at least on the back half, like post launch. Obviously before Ashes of Outland, I went on an insane climb in the new system. With a deck I knew how to play and a meta that I understood, right? So I'm off to a better start. Although the second I ran out of bonus stars this season, things seemed to have gotten way harder. Like, and it was like exactly the next game after running out of bonus stars. It was like, oh, like what the heck? Like, so to me, like pure, probably placebo, anecdotal. Who the hell knows? But, Today I burnt up the rest of my bonus stars. So I opened today 5-0 and then I ended today 0-5. It was just like, so I had a 50% win rate for the day, but I had all of my wins at once and I had all of my losses in a row. And I was just like, God, but it like, and it was right at that moment when I crossed over, I'm like, oh, I'm done with the bonus stars now. And, feels rough. And it almost feels like it didn't feel like I was playing against people in my MMR up until.
Well, you aren't. As soon as you lose your bonus stars, and this is probably my biggest gripe.
I'm sorry, did I miss something? That's not what they said, how it works.
That apparently is how it works. There have been like little tweets and bits of information dropped all over the internet. And I had this big, huge conversation in the Discord with our patrons. And we went like literally like scrubbed the internet for ladder information. And apparently you are matched by your MMR as long as you have bonus stars. As soon as you stop having bonus stars, then you're matched against people at your rank. So you no longer get MMR matched after that.
Interesting.
Super clear, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I. Very weird. So then what? Mm-hmm. It's a weird system. I guess
it's super weird. And Light Knight in the chat room is saying, I face legend players at Diamond 3. Yeah, you're a Diamond 3. That'll happen. Same as in the old system where you were matched by rank. Sometimes you would be a legend player facing off against people at rank 1 or 2. And that just happens because they don't want you to sit NICU for 5 minutes.
How do you know you're playing against a legend player? They don't show us that anymore.
Yeah, you don't know. The legend player does. When you make it to legend, you see the ranks of your opponents. So there were people who were streaming at legend.
Yeah, but that's not what Light Knight says. Light Knight in the chat room says, I face legend players at Diamond 3. Like, how did you know they were legend players?
That's a Light Knight question. I don't know.
Yeah.
they add you later. Okay.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I mean, you're close enough at that point. That doesn't seem to be.
Well, that's kind of the thing. Yeah, it's the same as in the old system. It's to make your queue shorter.
Yeah.
But yeah, like there have been people streaming that have been streaming at Legend and are matching up against people in gold and silver and stuff. And it's just like, why is that happening? It's because that gold or silver player hasn't played much ladder and have an MMR of a Legend player, apparently.
Very interesting.
Yep.
In theory, if the system's working correctly, shouldn't the rank you and your bonus stars at be approximately your MMR? But like to me, it was like night and day difference in the quality of my opponent. But very interesting.
Well, and then so you're talking about like night and day in terms of your quality of your opponent might just be because there's some people who haven't, you know, made it up to legend yet, but are legend players who, I don't know.
Interesting. Interesting thought.
Yeah.
Anyway, need more time. Brenton is going to bring us home. What did Brenton have to say, Joss?
Brenton wrote in and said, "Aloha, disgruntled chickens. Last week, there was a question involving game length, in particular with priests, and whether long games are good or bad. While I agree that long games aren't inherently bad, it is my preference that the games are shorter. One of the reasons I was attracted to Hearthstone originally was because historically, I could get a game in around 7 to 10 minutes with the occasional 15-minute game. Now I feel like my average games are 15 or more minutes with the occasional 25 to 30-minute game. This preference of mine is, of course, subjective. This is one of the reasons that I like put this email in here, because I was like, dude, I love that you are realizing that this is your personal experience and just and preferences, as opposed to like 25 minute games are bad.
Although I agree with that sentiment.
Right. He goes on to say, I feel like lifesteal is an issue that the game faces today. One of the contributors that makes games much longer. It's a cool mechanic in and of itself, but it feels way too prevalent and too powerful in a lot of situations. I wish hero life totals only went down, with the exception of occasional priest or paladin healing. Again, this is just my personal preference. If you had to choose one mechanic from Hearthstone to remove from the game to, in your opinion, make the game better, what would it be and why? And if you had to choose one mechanic from Hearthstone to add to the game to make the game better, what would it be and why? Or sorry, one mechanic just to add to the game, not from Hearthstone, because obviously if it's in Hearthstone, it's already in the game. But what do you think is missing? So what would you take away and what would you add, Garrett?
Geez. What would I take away? armor generation.
Interesting. Okay.
Are you surprised? I hate warrior. I hate them with a passion. And if they ever added bans to this game, I would never uncheck warrior.
All right. I don't know why. Armor generation is not what I thought that you were going to maybe say.
It's not currently the sexy target of hate in Hearthstone, but historically, I think warriors straight up get to cheat. I think it's bullshit that we can't heal above 30.
So, I mean, would that be that you want to get rid of armor generation, or do you want to potentially change the way that healing works?
Well, as someone who doesn't really like games that go on for longer than 20 minutes, let's get
rid of armor generation. Okay, you want to get rid of armor. Okay, fair enough.
And I don't really still think it's bullshit that we can't heal above 30, but like when Hearthstone launched and I looked at warrior and I'm like, they just get to cheat. They just get to cheat. Like,
that's how I felt about druids. The very first game of Hearthstone that I played was against a druid. I knew nothing about anything. And when they got to keep their armor at the end of the turn, I was like, that's some BS. What is going on here?
Yeah.
I have 30 and will always have 30 unless I have less. And you just get to have more, more, more.
I find
busted, stupid druids.
I find Brenton's hang up on lifesteal really interesting, because I don't think of lifesteal as I don't think lifesteal is not in a lot of popular decks. Like, it's a major offender in Demon Hunter for sure. But I think, like, what hunter decks are running lifesteal? What is Galakrond Secret Rogue? No, they're not running lifesteal. Murloc Paladin's not running lifesteal.
There is one Murloc and Paladin that has lifesteal, isn't there?
They're not running impactful lifesteal.
Right, yeah. And I think, like, obviously Life Drinker would have been, like, last year's big offender. Offended.
I'm looking at the list right now. There is not any lifesteal in this Murloc list.
Okay. Yeah, and Priest obviously has lifesteal, but I feel like it belongs in Priest. Like, I'm kind of okay with that. I'm okay with Priest healing. But I can also completely understand it's not even necessarily lifesteal, just healing in general. Priest has so much of now. They have the water dude, the 5 mana 5/5 heal for 5/5 guy. and then they have I guess everybody has the is it Cartute Defender, the reborn guy, the 3/4 that heals your face.
Yeah.
Everybody has that. So that's not necessarily, that's not lifesteal, but it's definitely an impactful heal.
A healing thing for sure. Yeah, games are certainly going longer, but I think it's just more control style decks are very popular at the moment. I mean, Galakrond Secret Rogue, I wouldn't necessarily call it a control deck, but it absolutely can, and the games tend to go very long. The same is true with any time Priest is popular, games are going to go long because they're not blowing you out. Their goal isn't to burn you down. Although on the flip side, it's
literally to just fatigue you and make you quit because you're bored.
On the flip side, we are seeing some of the most aggressive warrior decks that we've seen in a very long time, and control warrior is very unpopular. So that's actually helping game time overall. It's just, it's interesting. I blame Rogue. I blame Rogue and Priest right now. I think that's why games are going long. And to a certain degree, Demon Hunter can go long. They can go the distance, and I think for them I think it is because of the lifesteal. They do have access to a surprising amount of it for a class that is definitely flirts with what Rogue already does, but Rogue doesn't get the heal.
But a lot of that. For me, I think, and I'm so surprised that this wasn't kind of your go-to thing too, and it's kind of a combination of the two. I'd either want something added or something kind of tweaked to add this, but the way that like resurrecting works in Hearthstone right now has never kind of made logical sense to me. So when I think of something dying, I think of it then like leaving a corpse, and maybe you can see where I'm going with this thing that I want added.
you want a graveyard?
I want a proper graveyard because so you have a minion that dies and it leaves a corpse behind, and then you resurrect it. What I don't understand is why, if one of them has died, you can resurrect three of the same thing. Like, to me, it should be minion A has died, and then you resurrect minion A, and if it dies again, you can bring back minion A again. But if that resurrected A is alive on the board again, there should be nothing in your graveyard or whatever your resurrect pool, whatever you want to call it. It should be empty. Like, if you played Psychopomp, then it shouldn't bring anything back because nothing's dead. So that's kind of like, I guess I think of like resurrecting as like, I have minion zombies in my head. And I'm like, you think of like Walking Dead, when one person dies on Walking Dead, they become one zombie. There aren't like 18 zombies, insert name here, because I don't want to give spoilers to anybody, but like, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, you're basically it's
a
asking,
one for one relationship.
You're asking for a sort of, you wanted like an exile, because in Magic that there's a very big difference between send to the graveyard and exile card.
Okay.
Because like exile, it's so, like, yeah,
maybe,
it's gone.
Maybe I'm using like the wrong like terminology, because Magic is not my jam. So I don't know all the like card game terms, like Hearthstone's my thing. But basically, like, I want like a one-to-one relationship. Like, something has to die to be in the group of things that can be brought back. And if it's been brought back, you can't get extra copies of that thing. Like, it's it's emptying your pool as you're bringing things back and then refilling it again. Like, if that resurrected minion dies, then it can go back into the group of stuff that can be resurrected again. But while it is existing on the board, it shouldn't be like a copy of it shouldn't be able to be made.
Okay. My Magic knowledge is pretty much very strictly like located between 2014 and like 2016. And if it happened before that or after that, I'm really unaware of it, but that's basically how resurrect mechanics work in Magic, as far as I understand it. Cause like, to bring something back from the graveyard has to be in the graveyard in the first place, which is basically how it works right now in Hearthstone. If nothing died, you're not resing anything. But in Hearthstone, once something dies, now you can res it. You can just res it in perpetuity. In Magic, you are literally taking that physical card that is in a location on your board that is known as the graveyard and putting it back on the board. It is no longer in the graveyard. You can't res that particular creature back.
Right, because you need the physical card.
Yeah. And there are other effects and whatnot that exile cards, and they don't go into the graveyard. They're gone. They're like obliterated from existence, essentially.
Which is kind of like what we currently do with, say, like a polymorph, I guess, or with Reno's Poof.
Yeah, Reno's Poof is really interesting.
Because maybe that's what we need more of. Maybe we need to be able to poof things more so than just in one class with one card. Yeah,
I feel like we're getting a little bit into War on Priest territory, which I'm a little uncomfortable with because I'm farming them right now. Oh, I'm farming Priest. I'm so bored, but oh, I love wins, Joss. I love wins. I haven't lost to a Priest all week. It's been great. And I saw a lot of Priests.
Well, yeah,
week.
And I don't necessarily want to, you know, Priest is obviously the one that is the worst, maybe the only one that's doing res things right now.
Also, I think Warlock should be able to do res things because of how demons and the Twisting Nether works in Warcraft lore.
Yeah, no, I'm completely on board with that. And so maybe it's, and again, this is potentially getting away from what they want to do with like class identity stuff. And I don't want to target Priest very specifically. It's more like if I had to think of one mechanic that never made sense, Resurrect is the thing that is just never really jived with the way my brain works, like my internal logic. Obviously, I know how it works in Hearthstone, but it's just never kind of made sense to me. So, I mean, I don't particularly want to point a finger at Priest. And I think it's kind of a result of us also talking about healing and lifesteal, because even though that happens on neutral cards, obviously Priest has a lot more of that ability. So I don't want it to come off as me saying like Gur Arg Priest. I don't mind Priest, but I know a lot of people not huge fans right now just because of like the length of games and the way that they don't necessarily have a win condition. Like their win condition is just like, I hope you get bored and concede because I'm just never gonna die. Like past a certain point in the game, you just aren't gonna kill me.
yeah, but yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, because my gut reaction when we were talking, when Brenton asked the question like, what would you remove, my first thought was I would rather add res to Warlock. Like I'd rather add a mechanic to another class that I feel like,
well, that was just question two.
Should have it. Or oh, I'm sorry,
yeah, I missed so that it bit. It was a takeaway and what would you add. Gotcha, so I'm saying like I would add some sort of meaningful graveyard / I would take out or change the way res works. Like, I don't really, I feel like that's my answer and it kind of smooshes the questions together.
Well, there you go.
But yeah, so yeah. If you were to add something, it would be res to Warlock.
Also, I don't know why I'm trying not to be mean to Priest, but I'm clearly fine being mean to Warrior. Be like, get their armor generation out of here. Gone. Out of here.
Gone. So if you're taking armor generation away from Warrior, do you also want to take it away from Druid?
Do they need
blue
it?
Blue armor.
Do they really need it right now?
Well, I mean, it depends if you play wild or not, right?
Yes. Well, yeah, totally. No, armor generation has historically been one of my, outside of like Yogg-Saron effects, like one of the things that just is a big pet peeve of mine. And I find unexciting. Because it just becomes an impenetrable barrier at some point in its worst forms in the past. They've been a lot better.
I agree too.
Yeah.
In general, it's gotten lesser. You can still do it, but you're not seeing like 4-digit armor counts, which were just obscene.
Yeah. So,
but even Shudderwalk Shaman could do it at one point. Disgusting.
You're right. They could. So anyways, that's my answer. Thanks for the questions, Brenton and Hidden Jester. Keep them coming, everybody. TACpodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to bring in a bonus one here at the very end, Jocelyn, because I saw it come in at the last second and I can't copy and paste it. So I'm going to read it off my phone. Rakamar in our patron Discord wants to know, outside of Hearthstone, what's your personal recommendation for a fun game to play since we're all quarantined? So before we go, Jocelyn, what is your recommendation for a non-Hearthstone game to play since we find ourselves with an excess of time?
Oh my God, I have so many. And it's kind of hard because it really depends what kind of experience you're looking for. So, okay,
Jocelyn, you're my friend. I love and respect you. First three games that come to your mind right now.
Okay, three. I get three. Okay. Get
three.
I would say Sea of Thieves. It's a super fun pirate game. It's very, very pretty. They just revamped how they did Reputation, which makes it the grind just feel almost non-existent. So they did a really, really good job with their update earlier on in April. Then I would say, obviously, if you like any kind of horror or anything else, Dead by Daylight. I just hit rank 1 Survivor, which is basically like hitting Legend. I did it. Yay. So anyways, I have achieved the pinnacle of Dead by Daylight now. And so I love Dead by Daylight. I've been playing for about a year now, and it's a freaking awesome game. So if you have any interest in an asymmetrical PvP type game, Dead by Daylight is great. Or if you're looking more in the MMO arena, I would suggest ESO. ESO is super, super, super fun. It's getting a Skyrim expansion at the end of the month. So if you ever played Skyrim, you can literally go and play Skyrim 1,000 years before Skyrim. So there's some really interesting stuff going on out there right now. So those are my three kind of, like, if you're looking for something to play perpetually, I'm throwing in a bonus one, Garrett, you can't stop me, Frostpunk. If you're looking for like a single player, like not like game as a service, just like a really cool strategy type city builder, dystopian future type thing, go for Frostpunk. I love that game. So good.
I need to play it. It looks like exactly my kind of game.
Yeah.
Like exactly.
It's so good.
I love those kinds of games. I'm going to specifically try not to mention current hot topics like Animal Crossing or Warzone, although those are both amazing. let's see. One of my favorite things to boot up on Steam when I'm bored and I just want to kill some time is Ghost Recon Wildlands. Yes, Wildlands, not the new one. The new one is not good. Get Wildlands. You can usually get it on sale for like $3 and a taco. It's absolutely worth picking up. It is a really fun tactical shooter. That's basically just my favorite part of the most recent Metal Gear Solid game without all of the insane Metal Gear Solid bits, which might be a better or good thing for you. To me, I just liked how the tactical portion of, what was it, 5? Was it the most recent one? Whatever, Phantom Pain. I loved scouting a base, going in, killing everyone without ever getting noticed and leaving. And that's all Ghost Recon Wildlands is, if you want it to be. If you screw up or you just want to go in guns blazing, that is there's that option as well. And it's just fun as hell. Other than that, I try and convert at least one person to car games every week. And I don't think there's any better way to get converted into car games than to go and play Forza Horizon 3. 4 is good. On any of the Horizon games, you're not going to go wrong with, but I think 3 is the best one they ever freaking made. It takes place in like a fictional, like idyllic representation of an open world Australia. To just take a $10,000 Subaru or a $1 million like Bugatti and just go nuts. And have a blast. It is one of the most fun racing games I've ever played, and you can make it as arcadey or as simmy as you want. And then finally, I'm going to sneak in one extra Blizzard recommendation, which is Heroes of the Storm is in an amazing spot right now. The update that they put out about a month ago has drastically shifted the way that that game plays in terms of getting structures down to like win the lane and eventually win the game. It's really interesting. It's very cool. Tassadar is basically a new hero now. Deathwing is still in the game and is still insane. The reworks and the balance have been coming fast and furious and regularly, and they've been really impactful. So if you're in the mood for a MOBA and maybe you're a little bored with Dota or League of Legends, Heroes of the Storm is definitely worth a look right now.
Also, there's a game called Maneater coming out later this month.
For love of God, Jocelyn. Is that the shark game?
That's a shark game.
Yes. I actually kind of want to play that. It looks
ridiculous. My God. It looks so stupidly, ridiculously, amazingly fun.
It looks absolutely next level insane.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to figure out how that game stays like, interesting.
I don't know if it's good. I have never actually played it. It comes out soon and it just looks ridiculous. And I have been looking forward to this since it first got announced. I freaking love sharks, you guys. It's just an obsession of mine, always has been. And this game looks absolutely ridiculous. You literally play as a shark and your goal is to eat as many humans as possible in wild and wacky ways. Like, it's like Sharknado became a video game.
Well, you are the only person who went and saw the Meg. So
I love that movie.
You're the only person that ever said a word to me about its existence.
I know. It was a great book, too.
Nice. By the way,
I read the book when I was like 16.
I'm just going to keep recommending things. Watch Crawl. It's the Gator Florida movie that came out last year. Katie surprised me by renting it because I really wanted to go see it in theaters and we couldn't make it work like last year. It just was a bad time. And she's like, well, we're stuck home. So she rented it. And it's amazing. It's like a legitimately good movie. I love it. You should watch Crawl.
Oh, really? Yes. Crawl? Okay.
Yeah. If you like Jaws. Like,
what was the one that came? Oh, okay. I was thinking Lake Placid. Wasn't that like that an alligator movie from now. Like old? Yeah. Like
I love
the
that
90s
movie.
Do alligators.
I love monster animal movies. They're great. But Crawl was incredible. It was actually, I thought, a legitimately good monster movie. So go give it a look.
Cool.
That's going to wrap it up. Thank you, Rakamar, for asking for recommendations, because I love getting off topic. That's going to wrap it up for this episode of The Angry Chicken. Keep the emails coming, tscpodcast@gmail.com. You can drop us a message in the patron Discord. If you want to become a patron, if you want to support this show, and by extension, Jocelyn and myself, head on over to patreon.com/TAC. We really appreciate it, folks. Things are crazy right now. So thank you so very much for continuing to support us on the Patreon. And huge thanks to our producers as well, Declan H. and Cheesy Bob. Thank you so much, you two. Other than that, everything else is at amove.tv. Go check it out. And Joss, where can people find you when you're not angry chickening?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch. I'm at Joss Plays. And when it comes out, if you guys want to hear my thoughts on Maneater, go check out Gamerson, because I will definitely be talking about it probably for a long time.
Nice. Garrett Art on Twitter. Everything's at amove.tv. I have started streaming Cocktail Nights on Fridays right here on twitch.tv/amove.tv, usually around 9 p.m. Eastern time. Katie and I set up a laptop in the kitchen. We each make a drink. We kind of talk you through what we're making and how to make it. And then we hang out with you for a couple hours while enjoying, we miss bars and seeing friends. So we're inviting you to our home bar. It's fun. It's called Cocktails in Quarantine, 9 p.m. Eastern time, twitch.tv/amove.tv on Fridays. Go check it out. Everything else, amove.tv. That'll do it for this week. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. And until next time, job's done.
Job's done.
Job's done.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.